The sun is coming up over Bogue Sound as fishing gear and research equipment is loaded onto the waiting 48-foot research vessel Capricorn. Nearly a dozen students and interns from the Duke Marine Lab, the Division of Marine Fisheries, NC State, NOAA, and UNC are participating in the six-hour-long survey.
I want to encourage you guys to get involved as much as you feel comfortable.
PhD student Martin Benavides, who heads up the research trips, gives a briefing on details of today's excursion, how to measure, tag, and handle sharks.
Main thing, make sure you grab them really firmly behind the head, because obviously you don't want that end of the shark flipping around, right? The tail is where you grab the end.
We pull away from the Division of Marine Fisheries dock in Morehead City, making our way through Beaufort Inlets and out into the Atlantic. It takes about 45 minutes to get to our first location, 2 miles offshore of Shackleford Banks.
We are going to deploy this bottom trawl, and we're going to pull it for 15 to 20 minutes to get bait so that we can bait our long line, which we'll use to catch the sharks.
A green mesh net is lowered into the water with a winch, and it slowly floats away from the boat. The captain gently throttles the Capricorn forward, pulling the otter trawl net through the water. The commotion attracts a flock of seagulls and a pod of dolphins that follow close behind, hoping to grab a snack.
As soon as the fish are let out of the net, we're grabbing one individual of each species so that we can get a measure of the community of fish, how many different species there are.
Hundreds of fish spill on the deck of the boat, some small sharks already showing up with the first cast. The researchers took turns measuring and tagging a stingray and two juvenile Atlantic sharp-nosed sharks while crew members started baiting hooks for the long line, a synthetic cable nearly a mile long. Then it's full steam ahead to a spot 7 miles off the coast. Another half hour passes, and the vessel reaches our survey site. The crew begins attaching 100 baited hooks to the long line.
We have buoys every 10 hooks, and that is what's going to float our long line. Now, the hooks will actually dip down between the buoys so that we're fishing up and down the entire water column. As we reach the end, we will detach the long line from the winch, attach our last buoy, and set it out for 1 hour to soak.
We keep a close eye on the freely floating long line while Benavides tells me about how the long-standing research project helps improve the health of the ocean.
Yeah, when you have top predators, that benefits the entire ecosystem because they're able to not only control their prey populations, but also sort of keep them healthy. They tend to go for the sick or dying individuals or injured. So, you know, that can help the fitness of their prey. They keep the ecosystem in balance, is how I would put it.
There are over 45 species of sharks that are found off our coast. The survey collects information on about half of those species. He says the most common shark they catch is the Atlantic sharpnose.
This shark is actually one that has increased throughout the 45 years of the survey. When we first started to survey the coastal North Carolina shark populations, it was rarely caught, maybe 5 individuals per year. Now we get, for example, on our last survey, we got 15 of them in one set.
As sharp-nosed populations make a comeback, the study shows black-nosed shark numbers have been declining. Benavides says they've also noticed a significant decrease in larger bull and tiger sharks due to fishing pressure and development. He says overfishing makes food less available for the sharks, and coastal development damages important nursery areas.
It should concern us when we see changes, especially if they're sort of negative changes. And we should be trying to figure out what it is that is allowing for some of these populations to rebound so that we can put better regulations in place that will allow us to have healthier ocean ecosystems.
After an hour, the long line is reeled in. The first few hooks come up, no shark. Then a 3-foot sharp-nosed shark breaks the surface of the water, followed by another, then another. Each shark is taken off the hook by the crew and handed to one of the students who carefully carries it over to the researchers to take measurements and insert an ID tag.
Male sharp-nosed, stretch total 931. Fork length 769.
We will take a spaghetti tag, which basically is a piece of nylon that just has a number on it and the name of our institute. And we will use this tagger to insert it into the body of the shark just beneath their dorsal fin.
The deck of the boat looks chaotic with activity as researchers work quickly to record their data and release each shark back into the ocean. After five sharks, there's a lull as hooks come up empty. Then the crew spots a tiger shark. They wrestle the 8.5-foot shark onto the boat, and the researchers carefully tag and measure the shark. It's not often that large tiger sharks are caught during the survey, but Benavidez says it's a good indication that their populations are most likely recovering.
One of the things that we're starting to see is a comeback of some of the shark species that we thought were declining, and that now they're perhaps making a comeback. And so, you know, again, I think this is a sign for optimism. It's showing us that our oceans are healthy, and when you have top predators, that benefits the entire ecosystem.
A total of 25 sharks were caught on the trip, the highest daily catch in the study's 4.5-decade history. The longline surveys take place every 2 weeks between April and November. What's surprising about these frequent excursions off our coast is that they've changed very little over the decades. The gear, methodologies, and fishing locations have stayed virtually the same since the study began, giving researchers confidence about the changes they're seeing in shark populations off our coast. For PRE, I'm Jared Brumbaugh.